Moving right along, we bring in Joe Fisher, voice of the Commodores. Paul, let's hear the call real quick, if you don't mind.
Here we go. Neltner to inbound. Throws it in to Beal. Beal into the front court. 5-4-3. Jermaine to the lane. Puts it up.
Yes!
He hit it.
Yes!
6/10 of a second remaining. Unbelievable.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
A great call, by the way. It was absolutely awesome. But who's had the worst of it? Was it Ogilvy and his free throw shooting who couldn't put it away, or Odom's defense on Vandy? Because to me, that was just as putrid.
Well, I tell you, I was really happy for AJ, because had we lost that game, he would have really taken it hard. He would have taken it upon himself. And you know, he's a guy that's a very good free throw shooter, and you could just see it as it went on. You just felt so bad for him, because it became apparent it was going to be a whole lot more difficult.
You got to bend his knees. That's what you should tell him. Yeah, AJ, I mean, bend your knees, buddy. That's where foul shots come from, your hips.
I tell you what was interesting. You talk about Dave's defense.
Would have been great, Joe, during the game. That's right. You're calling the AJ at the line. Hold on a second.
AJ, bend your knees, pal.
Bend, buddy. Come on.
It wouldn't be the first time we've wanted to yell something out in the middle of a game.
Well, Tim's probably done it before.
Yeah, well, that actually may have.
But what's the benefit for Odom in that, in not pressuring the ball and giving them a free run?
It's interesting. And what was I thought was interesting, too, and I haven't had a chance to ask Kevin, if they changed their play from when they set it the first time, because remember they came out to set that play and lined up, Dave Odom called a timeout. And I don't know if Vanderbilt changed their play or not. But they basically got a running start down the court, which was the way it was devised to work. And then Jermaine comes down the court. He sees the Carolina defenders make a mistake.
Yeah, they start cheating toward Red Gordon.
Well, no, they didn't even – they were supposed – it almost was like the point guard and the other guy were going to – they were trying to switch, and they got confused. And then the small – I forget the guy's name, the little guy,
Downey,
who was great.
Yeah.
And he never came back on Beal.
That was what – and Jermaine saw that, and he just sort of saw the lane open up, and he just drove it in there. And he had, you know, players in each corner, obviously. But once he got into the lane, he realized that was probably as good a look as we were going to get. And he put it up, and he got nothing but net. It was a pretty spectacular play, to say the least.
And Joe, part of the crazy thing about this game was you feared that Vanderbilt played so well for the first 15 minutes of the first half, and they come out of it with a one-point lead.
Absolutely.
You wondered if and Downey hadn't scored.
Mm-hmm. He was really lights out.
And you really wondered if they were going to be in for it in the second half.
Yeah, I certainly did. You kind of felt like maybe you'd had your best chance to put the game away early and let it slip away. And then in the second half, I don't think anybody had a lead longer than four for the rest of the game. It was pretty amazing. And everybody hit big shots. Each team hit big shots. And I think Red Gordon's defense on Devin Downey deserves a lot of credit, too. Downey scored 10. That's well below his average. They all came in the second half, including the one that gave them the lead that was a circus shot. It was a great shot against good defense. But I think Gordon deserves a lot of credit for kind of shutting him down, especially in that first half.
Yeah, a couple of the shots that Downey made were spectacular. Yeah. I thought, you know, everybody's going to harp on the free throw shooting by Ogilvy or lack thereof at the end, but he made some great passes in that game, I thought.
Five assists, and a couple of them were just terrific, and it was something that they had not seen out of him, you know, from the top of the key, making those passes into the lane, and they don't win the game without his play, and that's why I'm really glad it worked out the way it did, because, you know, he would have taken a lot of the blame for that loss, and he didn't deserve it because of the way he played in all the other aspects.
And, Joe, the other thing, too, Shane Foster went through some cold stretches, but I'll tell you what, he stubbornly kept hunting his shot, made some huge threes, the one especially that put him ahead with 52 seconds to go, 64-63. He can shoot in a phone booth, man, and he also rebounded.
And he absolutely rebounded. That's one of the bigger parts of his game this year, is he's really gone to the boards a lot more, and you know, he's getting 5-6 rebounds a game on a regular basis. And you're right, he kept shooting, even when they weren't going down. And I think that was the frustration for Kevin, is that they were getting the looks they wanted. I mean, their offense was running to get them the looks they wanted to get. They just weren't knocking them down consistently. And he kept telling Shane, you keep shooting. You keep looking for the shot. And they kept looking for him. And after the game, he came over to do the post game with us, and he said, that's me. That's me.
And
you're right. So I was really happy to see that. And now hopefully a little bit of confidence. We're going to need it. You know, Kentucky tomorrow night here, and at least we're at home for a change. But this is going to be a tough home stretch now with Kentucky and Florida and Georgia and Tennessee all coming in four straight.
Joe will visit with you tomorrow. Thank you.
See you guys tomorrow.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.